8:30 of a morning, evening right here on WMIE. 5 o'clock's a rebroadcast. It's also rebroadcast 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And we have been talking about Romans chapter 7. That's where we are. And a lot of emphasis on what sin does to us, and that is its ultimate goal is our death. And death is just a painful, painful process. We live in a fallen world. Ever since there was sin in the Garden of Eden, there has been death. But thanks be to God that there is a different alternative and a different eternal reality that is available for you and I, because we've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. And so this last week, Merit Assembly of God, we lost one of our cherished church members. I mean, all of them are important. This one had been with us for 20 years. Whenever they moved down from up north, they had retired early, came down, and they worked side by side with us for a long, long time. Was on our board, and a few years ago they had to step down to take care of a family member, and then when that family member passed, they took care of another family member, and whenever they got done with that family member, they started having some physical challenges. But here this year, his health just really took a hit. And I'm so thankful that his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He loved Jesus. He loved his wife. He loved his kids. He loved the church. And we're going to miss him a great deal. So as we're talking about this, going through Romans chapter 7 and who will deliver us from all of our challenges, I want you to know that my dear friend Bill, he was like a surrogate dad to us, because his kids weren't in this area and my parents weren't around in this area. And his birthday was sandwiched right in between two of my kids' birthdays. And so we would celebrate birthdays together. If we didn't have company in, we'd celebrate some holidays together and go over to their house on special occasions, whenever it availed, with work schedules and everything. And I'm just so thankful that Satan does not get the last word in that situation, because we know that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be gathered together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So death is a painful process, but we know that Jesus gives us the comfort. He gives us the hope. And so if you wouldn't mind, just be praying for Merit Assembly of God as we look to discover what a new reality looks like without a very precious member of the body of Christ being here with us. Anyway, I want to say thank you today to the folks at JITS Concrete. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. A little over a week ago, I got a phone call from Greg on a Saturday, and said, "Pastor, I'm working. I'm not going to be able to get by there today like I was wanting to." And so I want you to understand that when there's a job that's that's going on, they're going to make sure that the job gets done. And if you need somebody to do a block or a concrete job for you, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. You want someone that's going to do the job right for you, not just someone who's going to slap something together and hope that you don't notice the deficiencies of it. 321-536-5804. If you need a concrete person or block person with lots and lots of experience here in Brevard County, and will do a great job for you. 321-536-5804. Do want to say also thank you. We had when our brother passed away, not my physical brother, but our brother in the Lord. We had just started a beautification project in our fellowship hall. We'd started, putting some tile down, and all of a sudden, because of his passing away and the funeral and the reception that was following, that expedited the process and the pace of work and the number of workers that were working on the job and everything. But we want to say thank you to everybody who's come together and really helped us to get to at least a workable place in our project we've got going on. So we're still a long ways away from it being completed, but we are a lot closer than we were before. I told somebody, I said, yeah, when you used to come in this building, you would look at the walls and you'd look at the floor and you'd say, ooh, those floors look rough. Now you walk in our fellowship hall building, you look at the walls and you look at the floor and say, ooh, those walls look rough. Understand we will get those painted and they'll look beautiful. But right now, we're still a work in progress. One of the things we do is we pay for everything as we go. So we don't want to owe anybody anything. And so it might slow down the pace a little bit, but it sure does bring a whole lot more liberty and freedom to do the work of the ministry, because you don't have those oppressive monthly obligations hanging over your head. So we want to go to Romans chapter 7. We are talking about deliver us from evil. We're working towards verse number 24, where Paul writes, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we're looking at some of the tactics that sin will employ in our lives to try and keep us frustrated, keep us in failure, keep us in bondage to sin, keep us as tools of unrighteousness instead of instruments of righteousness. And so today we want to take you to verse number 13. We'll read 13 through 20, and then we'll start reading today in verse number 15 when we get into our study. "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." So on last Friday's program, we had talked about that sin needs to be seen as sin. Sin's goal is for us to become even exceedingly more sinful, And in verse number 14, we had talked about sin will sell you out. So in verse 15, it says this, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." You may be practicing something in your life. You may be doing something in your life, and you may not have an adequate understanding of why that is going on. Paul could identify with this level of frustration. He says, "What I am doing, what I am doing." That means it's not something that was just part of his past. You know, if you've got sin, you want it to be part of your past. You don't want it to be part of your present, and you don't want it to be part of your future. But Paul says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." There was something that was going on in Paul's life, and it was extremely spiritually frustrating to him. And he was saying, I don't even understand why I would be doing these things. Understanding can cause you to behave in manners that you probably wouldn't do. Blasphemy is speaking evil about something. And in Jude, it talks about that these people blaspheme. They speak evil about things that they do not understand. One of our carnal nature's mechanisms is that if we do not understand something, it therefore must be bad. It must be spoken evil about. So if there is a change that comes, if there is something new that takes place at church, if there is something that is beyond our current level of understanding, we are almost pre-wired, as according to our carnal nature, to begin to lash out at that. There are, when it comes to transition, there are things that are called, there are people that are called visionaries, there are people called early adopters, then there are people who come along a little after that, and then there are some people that are just never going to get on board with anything new that comes along. And so one of the things that I challenge people is when they don't want to see anything new or an advancement that takes place in any area of their life, I want to ask them if they're still driving, you know, a horse and buggy, if they're still functioning without air conditioning, if they still have an old black and white analog television that you used rabbit ears, if they're still driving an automobile that doesn't have power steering, if they're still having to hand sew their clothes because they don't have a sewing machine. You see, when you begin to break it down, you find that there is constantly change that is taking place in our society. And as knowledge increases, which the Bible talks about taking place at a very rapid pace in the latter days, as knowledge increases, change is happening. And when new things come along, there are certain old things that become obsolete. Now, I will tell you this, that the Bible talks about that we are supposed to bring out of our storehouses treasures that are old as well as things that are new. We are not supposed to embrace the one and reject the other. There is a beautiful weaving together of a tapestry in our lives where we maintain that which is best while continuing to advance and improve other areas of our life. And so when there's change that takes place at your church, don't just automatically discard that. Say, God, something that is better. Now, I will tell you this. New Coke, if you remember from back in the 80s, was not better than the original Coke. That was a new and improved that was not improved, and therefore it became obsolete. And what they did was then they came out with Coca-Cola Classic to say, hey, we recognize we made a mistake. We're doing away with that. So you want to make sure that the change that you are making is a change for the better. It's not just change for change's sake. Okay? So all of that to say, people who don't understand have a tendency to speak negatively about things that are going on. That may have been one of Paul's issues, you know, when Jesus came on the scene and all of a sudden there is this mass increase of disciples after the day of Pentecost by the thousands, and the church is growing daily. And in the meantime, Paul begins to persecute the church and begins to force them to blaspheme. He forces them to renounce their faith. He throws some of them in prison. He has some of them killed. He was very hostile to this new move of God that was taking place. I don't know specifically what Paul is talking about here in verse number 14, but I do know this, that there are a lot of people that I have encountered that do things that they're not supposed to do, and they don't even understand why. Why would I do that? You know, in some cases, why would you jeopardize something? How many lives do we have to watch be ruined because they give in to temptation, because there was something that was taking place in their secret life that all of a sudden it became highly publicized and undermined their credibility and devastated and ruined a large portion of their life. So one of the things that we can do according to Scripture is we can get understanding. There is a person who understands what is going on inside of us, and that is God. Solomon said, you know, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding. And so I know some people that if they don't understand what is going on, they are going to not be on board with it at all. And yet, if you give them an explanation, then all of a sudden you start revealing to them that you know more about what's going on in that situation than what they're aware of, and what they thought was something that was hostile that was taking place, it really wasn't that at all. There was just a misunderstanding. So I have this mindset when it comes to my government, and that is, they had better know things that I don't know. They had better have intelligence that I don't have access to. If I've got all of the information and I don't have any of the security clearances or any of that sort of stuff, then there's a serious, serious problem. So we are not supposed to speak evil of those in authority over us. We are supposed to pray for them. We are supposed to pray that they would be surrounded with godly people. The Bible says that if a king is surrounded by unrighteous people, that's going to have a negative impact on the effectiveness of their government. So we are supposed to pray. We are supposed to pray for our president that is in office currently. We are supposed to have prayed for the president before him, and the president before him, and the president before him, and we will pray for the president that comes after this person and after the next person. The church is called to pray that the kingdom of God would be advanced through whatever government. You can pray for whatever government exists around the world. You will find that in some of the places where governments are hostile to the faith, that the church is growing so rapidly that it's hard to comprehend. So don't stay voluntarily in a condition of lack of understanding. Get understanding that you can, because it may help you to understand why you are doing some of the things that you do. Okay? There's an old story that's talked about two ladies, a mother and a daughter. And so the daughter was over at the house one day and noticed that the mother cut off the a few inches off of the pot roast. And the daughter said, well, Mom, why do you do that? And she said, well, that's what Grandma did. And well, why did Grandma do that? And so she went over to their house and they said, well, Mom, you know, why did you cut off, you know, certain length of the roast, you know, whenever you cook the roast? Well, that was what my mother did. And that lady happened to be still alive. So they went and they asked her, well, why did you do it? And she said, well, honey, the reason I did that was because that was the biggest pan that I had. I had to cut it off just to get it into the pan. And so sometimes if we don't have understanding, we're going to continue to do things that are pointless and meaningless. But if we have understanding, all of a sudden it can modify our behavior for the better. That's what God wants for us, is for our behavior to become better. Paul goes on and he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand, and what I will to do, that I do not practice. So there is a will, there is an intent that you and I are supposed to utilize. The truth of the matter is this: you and I will make time, make the resources, make the energy, put out all of the effort that is required to do whatever it is we want to do. Paul says, I've got this situation that is going on where my will is involved, but I am not constantly practicing the will. The church in general is good at putting on events. So we can come together and we can pool our energies and we can put on an event. But the question I have is, what are we practicing? Because later this year, there's going to be a marriage event that takes place in our life. It's called a wedding. And there's lots of effort that goes on into putting on a wedding. But it takes a lifetime of practice to put on a marriage. And so you and I, we've got to look at this situation. Paul says, the things that I'm doing, I don't understand why some of these things are in my life. He says, I've got a will that is involved, things that I want to do, but when I assess my life, I see that there is not a practice going on of those things. And that's very frustrating. If you think it's frustrating for you, think about those around you who are seeing the disconnect between what you proclaim you want to do and those things that you are doing. Think about the disconnect between what you say you want to do and what unbelievers see us in practice doing. Okay? So it is a mutually all around frustrating encounter whenever there is this polarization of our spiritual makeup, the makeup of our being, let's put it that way, where we've got spirit, we got soul, we got body, and our body is practicing things that our mind is saying, no, that's not what I want. And our carnal nature is saying, but this is what you are practicing. The third thing that it says here in verse number 14 is that you may end up doing things that you hate. I had a worship leader that worked for me a long, long time ago. She showed up for work one day and she said, Pastor Bob, I am just devastated. I said, well, what's the matter? And she said, I put on my sweater this morning and my mother's hand came out the other end. And what she looked at, and she recognized the finger size and the wrinkles and all of that. And she realized that there was something going on in her that she recognized going on in someone else. I will tell you that many times there are personality traits, there are behavioral issues that take place in other people's lives, And many times we find those things very annoying. We find them very aggravating and very frustrating. And it causes us to have a disdain for that because we see it in other people. And at that point in time, many people want to lash out in judgment. But if we would look in the mirror, we would find that one of the reasons that we have such a strong attitude towards that behavior in that person's life is because it also exists in us. And we hate it, but many times we don't even recognize it in our own lives. Okay? I went to a doctor one time and he said, has there been anything that changed on your back? And I said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that because I don't have access to seeing what is going on beyond my vision. And so if my wife or my kids see something that I say, I tell you what, I'm getting ready to go to the doctor, put a circle around it and we'll have him check it out. We need to constantly be accountable to one another. And so I just want to tell you this, if you see something in someone else that you really don't like that particular part of their personality, you might want to take a look in the mirror and see if one of the reasons why you recognize it in them so much is because you see it in yourself on a daily basis. I'm not condoning the behavior. I'm actually telling you this. There is a solution for the situation that we're talking about today, where we're doing things without understanding. We want to do something, but we don't practice it. And we see things, we hate it, and yet we're still doing it. I want you to know the solution is found in Jesus. The solution, there is a solution. His name is Jesus. And Paul, like you and I, got the victory. You will too. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Because